just a little bit. I'd like to have you turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Probably everyone sitting here this morning has at one time or another had a really close call of some sort. And you responded with, "Thank you, Lord, that was a close one." That was a demonstration for you personally of the mercy of God. You see, our God is a very merciful God. Most of us, if the truth be known, probably should not be here. We should be laying on our back someplace with our hands folded in a box. But we're not, because of God's mercy. And there's an illustration in the Bible about it, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. You all know the story. Most of you know the story. It's in Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 15. So if you will turn there, Genesis 19, verse 15. And the Bible says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, 'Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.' And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." It's amazing sometimes the mercy of God and how it's demonstrated. We need to, this is going to be a little shorter message because we have a business meeting that is going to take some time. But we need to realize how merciful God was. The vision, the picture that I have is actually the two angels dragging Lot and his wife out of the city along with his two daughters. Now the rest of the family had a chance. There were other daughters, but they thought that Lot was making a jest of some sort when he went to them and said, "You need to come and get out of the city." They thought he was fooling around with them, teasing them. They missed their opportunity to experience the mercy of God. That's actually what was on, he was trying to do, was be merciful. He was trying to share the mercy of God. But God is merciful, and he dragged them out of the city. They didn't want to go. Now, they'd been told what was going to happen. They didn't want to. They had to be dragged out of the city. And sometimes, folks, God wants to show us his mercy, and sometimes he has to drag us by the heart to get us to where we need to be. Most of us are familiar with the story of Lot and his wife in the town of Sodom. God sent two angels to let Lot know that what was about to happen because of the city's sin. Now, I'm not getting political. Churches are not supposed to be political, even though they are sometimes, a little bit. But because of the homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed them. Now, when we look around this nation, what's going on? It's sad. It ought to be scary to the Christian. But it is sad that such a small minority is having so much power and authority within our nation. Should we expect anything different? No, we shouldn't. There are times when God forces us to do something that maybe we want to procrastinate a little bit on. And there's a lot of stuff we procrastinate on, folks. I'll give you one example. How many of you filed your taxes early? A few. I didn't. I filed mine Saturday night. Okay. I tended to procrastinate. I used to try and file them early, but I couldn't find everything. So anyway, but there are times when we procrastinate, and God has to almost grab us and drag us to where he wants us to be so that he can bless us and so that he can use us. And we have to be aware of those times and not resist any longer. I think Lot resisted. I think he literally had to be dragged. Many times when God does that, it's actually the mercy of God. Look at verse 16, and you'll see the mercy of God in action. It says, while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Folks, it required a physical action for God's mercy to be demonstrated to Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. But that wasn't good enough. So God showed great mercy by sending two angels to warn Lot and his entire family. And his entire family was warned, but only four of them escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then one of them did what God said not to do. One of the angels said, don't look back. You just go. And one of them looked back, Lot's wife. Folks, when God deals with us, a lot of times he says, don't look back. We can't live back there. The past is past. And usually the only thing we can do about it is apologize and ask for forgiveness. So God expects us as his people, as his children, he expects us to look ahead, to move ahead. She looked back in opposition to God's command, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. Now we're down to three, but it doesn't end there. There's more demonstration of God's mercy. Genesis 19, 17 through 21. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city near to flee unto, and it was a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? So Lot was asking for God's mercy. And verse 21, and he said unto him, one of the angels, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Now remember, Abraham negotiated with the angels, probably with the Lord Jesus Christ himself in pre-incarnate form, as to how many righteous people might live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he started off with 50, and he thought to himself, because he had heard the reputation of them, he probably thought to himself, well, wait a minute, that's too big a number. How about 40? No, wait a minute, I've heard a lot about them. Maybe 30. He got down to 10. Now, we laugh at Lot, or at Abraham. But there are times when you and I try and negotiate with God. God, just let me do this. And I'll do this for you. We try and negotiate. God has two wills. He has a permissive will, which is not the same as his divine will. It means he's going to let you do something that he knows is not the best thing for you, but he will let you do it. Or he has his perfect will. He knows exactly what is going to be of most benefit to you, what is going to be easiest on you. But we are negotiating for permissive rather than perfect. And folks, that's not the best choice. But again, God in his mercy, it is his mercy that each one of us are sitting here this morning. Somewhere along the way, God showed mercy to you as an individual. You should not have survived or come through whatever it was the issue was. I know that one night as a teenager, showing off, I had a Buick convertible that was my first car. And I had four people with me. And I turned onto a gravel road off the paved road outside of Romeo, Michigan. I stopped because I was getting a little cool and I put the top up. Now that was God touching my heart, because I put the top up and we took off down that road. And I came to a railroad track built up just about that high. One track, up, down. The state police figured my car was 35 feet in the air at some point. When I hit the road, every one of us had welts across the top of our head where those steel crossbars under the top. If I hadn't put the top up, we'd have all been thrown out of the car. I wasn't even a Christian. But God wanted to give me one more chance, and he has done the same thing for you. You may not even know it. Most of you probably do know it. That there was a time you did something stupid. That was not, you know, the brightest thing I've ever done in a car. But I was showing off pride. And God showed me and those four others mercy. Just like he showed Lot. Just like he showed Lot's daughters. Now, did I learn from that? Not really. I'm pretty stupid. But the Lord showed Lot mercy. He showed his daughters mercy. And Lot was not satisfied with the kind of mercy God was going to show him. God said, the two angels said, flee to the mountains. You'll be safe there. He said, no, Lord, I've got to stay among people. I'm an urban person. I don't know how to milk a cow. I want to go to the town. So he let him go. Genesis 19, verse 30. And Lot went up. He went to Zoar. He stayed there for a little while, but he looked around and he didn't really like what he was seeing. So it says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, the place God told him first to go. And his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. What was his reason for not wanting to go to the mountains? I'm afraid. People, we don't need to be afraid of what God tells us to do. We need to be obedient. But we have to be careful. And I'm going to qualify this. We have to be sure that it is God who is telling us and not our enemy, the devil, or we're not being given some bad information. We have to be sure. So Lot went up. He was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. So they were right away plotting to commit a very grievous sin. And they made their father drunk with wine that night, and the firstborn went in, lay with her father, and perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. It came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, yesterday night I lay. Both of them went into their father, and both of them got pregnant by their father. Both of them had children by their father. Each child became the head of a nation. And one was Moab, which was always a problem for the Israelites. And the other was Ben-Ammi. He was an Ammonite. That was a problem too. So through their sin, they became a problem for God's future plans. Now I want us to stop here and think about the mercy of God. And I believe that we would all agree that there have been times, you've probably had a chance to think about this a little bit, there have been times when God has showed mercy to you. Maybe a little thing, maybe a big thing. But most of us have survived stupidity. We don't like to brag about it, okay? We want people to think that we're Einsteins. But there aren't many of those around. I hope that we all understand that God's mercy is a result of God demonstrating his love. He showed you mercy because he loves you. Every one of us, God loves his creation. He loves everyone. He may not love what a person does, but he loves the person. He saved you. We just celebrated communion. Jesus Christ, God loved you enough. Most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. But there's a verse behind that. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. That the world through him might be saved. There is no other name given among men. No other name whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is our only way to be saved. And he accomplished that by shedding his blood for you and I. Now, I don't want to reject that. There was a day when I accepted that. There was a day when you accepted that. There was even a day when Berkeley accepted that. And that's what we are supposed to be here for. is to share that fact with the world. To share with the world the mercy of God. And we can be the a source of the mercy of God by our going out and sharing with others what God has done for them. Giving them the same opportunity each one of us had to be saved. To call out, to believe. It tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart, not talking about that organ that's pumping the blood, it's talking about what makes you a person. If you believe in your heart, in your soul, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's supposed to be our message. That is supposed to be the message we are spreading throughout the world. And it is a message of God's mercy to man. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I've had a taste of it. I'm so glad that you've had a taste of it. We need more of it. We need to see more of it out there in the world. Now, it was because of our sin, or the disaster that we designed, okay, think about that. We designed it. We do design disasters, but it was because of our sin that Jesus had to come, and God was bestowing upon us his mercy to cover our foolishness. God's mercy is actually a second chance to do his will. You might say, it wasn't my fault that the other guy did something stupid. You could be right. But let me ask you this question. Was the devil trying to stop you from doing God's will? Or had you not prayed about it before you did whatever it was you did? You might say, well, I was on my way to church. Again, I would ask, did you leave when God said leave? You know, a few seconds can make a difference. Did you go the route that God asked you to go? That can make a difference too. One other possibility is that maybe you weren't where God wanted you to be, so that he could give you the blessing. In any case, God loves you enough to extend his mercy to you so that you can do his will at a later time. And we all sit here this morning under those circumstances. God's mercy is evidence of God's love for you. You as his child. It's meant to preserve you for the purpose that God has placed you here. God is trying to preserve you to fulfill the purpose for which he has put you upon this earth. Every one of you have a purpose. And it's God's mercy that is trying to help. Father, we are so glad that you love us. We are so glad that you have shown us your mercy. You have preserved us when no one else could. And we ask as we go from here today, Father, that we will not only be grateful for your mercy, but we will try and share your mercy with those who have never experienced it, or at least they were not aware of the fact that they've experienced it. May we see fruit as a result of your mercy for us, and may that fruit be in the form of souls And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.